Sign it now. Sign the peace treaty. 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 Sign it now.
Stop the lie, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lie, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lie, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Anyone who's ever made a connection to
the climate
war,
what kind of job? Stop the lie, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Well, you know.
Stop the lie, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the war, U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea. Stop the war, U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Hello, how are you?
U.S. out of Korea. U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies. Stop the war.
U.S.
out of Korea.
Stop the lies. Stop the war.
U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies. Stop the war.
U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies. Stop the war.
U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies. Stop the war.
U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies. Stop the war.
U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies.
Stop the war.
U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies.
We're here today because people in this country need jobs. They need health care. They need money for schools. They need so many things that this country could and should provide for working people right here. And instead, it goes to the Pentagon for endless war. War in Iraq, war in Afghanistan, drones into Pakistan, and now the threat of a new U.S. war in Korea. And we're here to say stop the U.S. lies and stop the U.S. wars and U.S. out of Korea. This is a time when the U.S. government should sign the peace treaty with Korea and stop the endless threats on Korea and all the people of the world, and use the funds that we so desperately need right here for jobs, for health care, for our schools, and not for endless wars. So when we say stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea, we're talking about the needs of everyone here for the things that we need here and not for the endless wars against the people of the world. The people of Korea have a right to be free of the U.S. troops that have kept Korea divided for more than 60 years. The people of the U.S. and the people of Korea have a right and a need for so much more, not for aircraft carriers off the coast of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and off the coast of China, but right here at home, for the jobs, for health care, for people's needs. When we say sign a peace treaty with People's Korea, we're saying that this state of war that exists in Korea threatens every one of us, threatens us here with actually the destruction of everything here and the destruction of the people in Korea. The U.S. war in Korea 60 years ago resulted in the death of more than 3 million Korean people. The people of Korea have a right to be united, free of U.S. troops. And the people of the U.S. have a right to the resources that we need right here today. We're going to have a number of speakers at chants, of signs, of many organizations that are united together to raise these demands. So join us in saying, stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Today, as you're walking by, you should know that there are more than 70,000 U.S. and South Korean troops that are amassed in war games. And that Admiral Mullen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has said that those war games, as they call them, those war drills, those war maneuvers, those threats will continue again and again, raising really the specter of a new and more dangerous war. We're for the end of U.S. wars in Iraq and in Afghanistan, the end of the drone attacks, the end of the war maneuvers off of Korea. All of these issues are combined. Stop the lies, stop the wars, U.S. out of Korea.
Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies, stop the war, U.S. out of Korea.
Solidarity with the Korean people because in the Philippines, the U.S. military is present there also. U.S. military intervention is not an isolated event. The U.S. is in many countries all over the world, occupying people's lives for their own interests and for their own profits. U.S. intervention, the U.S. military is also conducting war games in the Philippines, as it is in South Korea. And the effect of this, especially for women and children, is violence, death that's uncalled for, and destruction of people's land and lives. The U.S. Imperial Army is the common denominator for the struggles of all oppressed peoples all over the world. Be critical of the media, be critical of the United States, who is saying that they are occupying Korea and all of the countries in the world to make sure that we are safe. They're not, they don't care about our safety, they only care if they make profit off of war. They will do anything to justify war all over the world so that they can maintain the military-industrial complex and make money for themselves. They do not care about our interests, and we have to pressure them that we, all over the world, especially us in the United States, care. And we need that money to be funneled into...
Why don't you go to Korea? Why don't you go over here for? Go to Korea!
U.S. troops!
No,
anti-war movement. The U.S. has been carrying out aggression against the people of Korea for 60 years. Those of us who have been fighting against U.S. aggression and occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan and now Pakistan and elsewhere have been temporarily demoralized by the fact that those wars have gone on for almost a decade. Think about what the people of Korea feel when they've been occupied for 60 years. Think about what the people of Palestine feel knowing that they've been occupied and expelled and ethnically cleansed for over 60 years. Well, the people of Palestine have not given up after 60 years. The people of Korea have not given up after 60 years. The people of Iraq and Afghanistan and Yemen and Somalia and Honduras and Colombia and everywhere else that the U.S. practices aggression and genocide and occupation will not give up. That's why we in this country need a united anti-war movement that's broad and independent of the bipartisan Washington genocide makers to force the U.S. out of those countries. That's why in Albany in July, 800 people came together to form a new United National Anti-War Movement called UNAC, the United National Anti-War Committee. Every person here, every organization you know is welcome to be part of this committee so that we can stop all of these aggressions, bring all of the troops home, and spend all of those dollars on human needs here and abroad. Thank you.
U.S. troops out now!
U.S. troops out now!
U.S. troops out now!
U.S. troops out now!
We're here saying that right here in the U.S. today, we need jobs, we need health care, we need education, money for schools, and not for another war. The U.S. threat of a new war in Korea is a danger for everyone in Korea, and it's also a danger for all of us, because it means that there's no funds here, and that U.S. dollars are used for the destruction of an entire people. U.S. war in Korea 60 years ago has resulted in Korea being divided. It resulted in more than 3 million deaths of Korean people. When we call for jobs and health care and schools right here, we're calling for an end to the U.S. policy of war. War, always money for the war profiteers and not for the things that we need right here. Join us. Join us. Raise your voice. Speak against the threat of a new war. Gabrielle Gemma from Bail Out the People is our next speaker.
Sisters and brothers, workers, unemployed, youth, who are going by, trying to get ready for what you hope will be a beautiful holiday season for your family. And yet, we're living every day with the threat of a new and horrendous war that they want to send our children to. They don't send the children of the rich. They don't send the millionaire clubs and Congress children to the wars. They're cutting 45 schools in New York. They're cutting libraries. There's a demonstration Wednesday to save daycare centers, senior centers. They want to cut Social Security. But do you know, did you see that Wall Street's got the biggest record profits that they've had for years? Hunger for us, homelessness, foreclosures, but they got $1 trillion a year. $1 trillion is $1,000 billion. $1 trillion for war. And who gets that money? Who gets it? Well, the GI's families, when they return, are being evicted and foreclosed on. $1 trillion goes to the banks. It goes to the war companies, the war profiteers. It should be a crime. We should put them all in jail. The North Korean people have been struggling for 60 years to rebuild their country, which was bombed to the ground by U.S. military 60 years ago. Since then, there have been nuclear, U.S. nuclear weapons in South Korea. The U.S. has 6,000 nuclear missiles. The only country to have nuclear missiles off the shore of its own country. Big nuclear aircraft carriers. For each aircraft carrier, we could build 100 schools. We could create 100,000 jobs. That's what we need. We are sick of the lies. They lied to us about Iraq. They lied to us about Afghanistan. They lied to us about Vietnam. And they're lying to us about Korea. This is a war for the U.S. corporations who are all over South Korea, paying the workers in South Korea pennies. They run there, pay them nothing, and workers in South Korea who are trying to raise their wages rather than creating jobs right here in the United States, in Brooklyn, in Bronx, in Manhattan. We say the future for our youth is up to us. Are we going to stand for these lies anymore? Are we? Are we going to resist any attempt to drag us into a new war? Do we want things for the people, for the working class, for the youth, for everyone in this country? Do we want it? Are we going to fight for it? We're going to build a people's movement. Stop the lies. End the war. Put the bankers in jail. Get your hands off the Korean people, our brothers and our sisters. We stand with you, united.
Stop the lies. Stop the war. U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies. Stop the war. U.S. out of Korea. Stop the lies. Stop the war. U.S. out of Korea.
Our next speaker will be Ben Becker from the Answer Coalition. Ben Becker.
Around 60 years ago, the U.S. Air Force dropped more bombs on Korea than all the bombs that were dropped on Europe in the entirety of World War II. Every building that was two stories or more in North Korea was razed to the ground. Over 3 million Koreans died in that war. And yet in this country they have the nerve to call it the Forgotten War. That is a war that can never be forgotten by the Korean people. Every family in Korea understands what war means. And even though many of us, understandably, are rushing home after a long work week, after a long work week, undoubtedly, where we did not get paid enough, where we're going to try to make dinner even though we're exhausted, where we're going to pick up our kids and so forth, we want everyone walking by to at least stop or at least reflect on what a new war could mean. There are crying needs in this country for jobs. 2 million people yesterday lost their unemployment benefits. And yet, they are risking another military conflagration in Korea that could again take hundreds of thousands of lives, if not millions, again spend billions and trillions of dollars that will only go to the military profiteers and the banks. The people of this country have to stand up and say every word that comes out of the U.S. corporate media or the political system that demonizes the North Korean leadership, for instance, is just a way to get us to fall asleep again. It's the exact same thing they did with Saddam Hussein. You paint him in the ugliest possible words, and then people sit back when they go to bomb Iraq, when they kill 1 million Iraqis. Well, for right now, what we're gonna say is, hands off Korea. There's no problem in Korea that can be solved by bombing the Korean people. There's no problem that can be solved with war games. To the contrary, we have problems that we need to solve right here. They always want to tell us that we have some foreign enemy. If it's not Iran, it's North Korea. If it's not North Korea, it's China. If it's not China, it's Cuba. If it's not Cuba, it was Iraq or Afghanistan. But it's all part of the system to get us to fall asleep. And we want to be able to say, our enemies are not in some distant lands. Our enemies are not thousands of miles away. Our enemies are a few miles away, down on Wall Street, the people who are kicking others out of their jobs, out of their homes, We don't need to fight any enemies in foreign soil. We need to build a movement so we can take on the elite, the Wall Street cronies who are ruining our country from the inside.
The people of Korea need peace. They need U.S. troops out. And Seok-jeon from Notutol will be our next speaker. Seok-jeon from Notutol.
Hello, everyone. My name is Seok-jeon from Notutol for Korean Community Development. We're a Korean community organization based in Queens, and we stand here on behalf of all the Koreans in the world who want peace and all the people in the U.S. as well, who I know want peace and who want wars to end. I stand here because we want to acknowledge that there were 4 lives lost last week in Korea. But I also stand here because there are 3 to 4 million civilians who were killed during the Korean War, and there have been 700 soldiers, U.S., North Korean, and South Korean, who have been killed along the DMZ. And there have been more than 1,000 mine victims who have also been killed along the DMZ. So as you can see, there's a long history of conflict and killing along the Korean border and between North, South Korea and the U.S. And I stand here because we know that the Korean War was not a just war, just as the war in Iraq and Afghanistan were based on lies. And we would like to see that the war in Korea end once and for all. It has been 60 years. 60 years of 10 million families separated, and 10 million families that cannot see their mother, their father, their brother, and their sister. And the human cost of war is not just in Korea, it's here in the U.S. The war in Korea has already cost the U.S. more than it cost World War II. And I would like to say that we are all still paying for the wars in Korea, and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan will affect our children and our children's children. So I would like to ask all of you shopping, all of you passing by, and all of you gathered here to stand here to call for a peace treaty once and for all to end the Korean War. So if you'd like to chant with me, it is End the Korean War, Peace Treaty Now, okay? 1, 2, 3. End the Korean War!
Reverend Kim, and he is a Protestant Reverend at Justin Church.
Ban갑습니다, 동지들.
It's good to see you, everybody.
저는 한국인 이민교회를 하고 있는 개신교 목사입니다.
I am a pastor at a Korean immigrant church in New York City.
저는 목사로서 평화를 원하고 전쟁을 원하지 않습니다.
As a pastor, what I want is peace, not war.
그리고 더욱 우리 조국의 코리아의 평화를 원합니다.
And what I want is peace in my homeland.
한반도의 평화를 지키는 길은 두 가지가 있습니다.
There are two ways to get peace on the Korean Peninsula.
하나는 미국이 할 일이고 하나는 사우스 코리아가 할 일입니다.
One is the task of the United States, the other is the task for South Korea.
먼저 미국은 북한과 함께 관계 정상화를 이루어야 합니다.
The United States must normalize its relations with the DPRK.
2000년에 클린턴 행정부 때 그때 이미 북미 커뮤니케를 이뤄서 관계 정상화하기로 이미 약속을 했습니다.
Under Clinton's administration in 2000, there was already an agreement between the United States and the DPRK, a commitment from both sides to normalize relations with each other.
오바마 행정부는 지금이라도 당장 클린턴이 약속했던 조미 커뮤니케를 이행해야 합니다.
The Obama administration must recommit itself and follow through on the agreement that Clinton made with the TPLK to normalize relations.
그 커뮤니케 안에는 평화협정문이 들어있습니다.
And in the joint communique that was agreed upon in 2000 between Clinton and the DPRK, there is an agreement to sign a peace treaty to end the Korean War.
평화협정만 맺으면 이런 연평도 같은 일은 절대 있을 수가 없습니다.
If there is a peace treaty, a permanent peace on the Korean Peninsula, then we will no longer have tragic incidents like what happened last week on Yeonpyeong Island.
오바마 정부에 요구합니다. 평화협정을 이행하고 북미 공동 커뮤니케를 당장 이행하시오.
What we demand of the Obama administration is that it follow through on the US-DPRK joint communique from 2000 and normalize relations and realize a peace treaty now.
이제 남쪽 이명박 정부에 요구합니다.
And also, I demand on the Lee Myung-bak administration in South Korea.
지난 10년 동안 김대중 노무현 두 대통령 시기에 가졌던 정상적인 남북 관계를 당장 회복하시오.
He must recommit himself to the process that was already begun before in the previous two administrations, a process of normalization of relations between the North and South.
특히 이번에 연평도 사건이 터졌던 서해에 이미 평화협력지대를 짓기로 2007년에 약속을 남북 간에 약속을 하였습니다.
In 2007, there was already an agreement between North and South Korea to normalize relations in the West Sea and create that region around Yeonpyeong Island as a peace and cooperation region.
서해 평화협력지대를 지금 이행하고 있다면 이런 비극은 절대 있을 수 없었습니다.
If that agreement had been followed through and not undermined by the Lee Myung-bak administration, then the tragic incident that happened last week on Yeonpyeong Island would never have occurred.
우리는 다시 한번 요구합니다. 오바마 정부는 평화협정을 북측과 체결하고 이명박 정부는 서해 평화협력지대와 같은 2007년에 14선언을 이행하시오.
We demand again that the Obama administration must normalize relations with the DPRK and sign the peace treaty to finally end the Korean War. We also demand on the Lee Myung-bak administration in South Korea to follow through on the agreement from 2007 to create a peaceful cooperation region in the West Sea.
네, 감사합니다.
Thank you.
US troops out of Korea! Sign the peace treaty now! US troops out of Korea! Sign the peace treaty now! US troops out of Korea! Sign the peace treaty now! US troops out of Korea! Sign the peace treaty now! US troops out of Korea!
From Workers' World newspaper, Workers' World Party, who has been writing on Korea and the importance of peace for Korea and an end to U.S. war for decades now. Deirdre Griswold.
In the headlines a lot lately, and on TV. And I wonder, oh, is this going to be a report about the fact that unemployment in this country is now almost 10% as of today's reports. That's the official unemployment, not counting everybody who's lost their unemployment, everybody who's given up looking because they couldn't find anything. If you put all the people together who can't get a decent job, it's not 10%. It's 40 million people. Where are the headlines about this crisis? It's a U.S. crisis. Where are the headlines about the crisis getting even worse when yesterday the unemployment extended benefits for 2 million people ran out? That's just this month. 2 million more people without any kind of income to count on. But why aren't we seeing that there's a crisis in this country? Oh, I know why. Because I just saw another headline in the paper. Well, Wall Street profits are higher than ever. They've been going up and up. So you see, 30 million people unemployed, but that's no crisis because Wall Street is making money. Now, where do you see the word crisis? You see crisis in Korea. Korea is causing a world crisis. And why did they say that? I want to tell you something. I've been to Korea. I've been to South Korea, and I've been to North Korea, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. And from the point of view of Wall Street, there's a big difference between North Korea and South Korea. And here's the difference. When they go and they count up the profits that they're making all over the world, that are giving them record profits because they're paying low wages all over the world and they're trying to push our wages down too. When they count up those profits, they can count up a lot of millions and billions of dollars coming out of the sweat of the South Korean workers. But they can't count one penny coming into their bank accounts from North Korea, the DPRK. Why is that? It's because the DPRK, North Korea, is not part of the global capitalist market for labor and resources. They're separate. They have their own economy. They work for themselves. They don't work for U.S. corporations. They don't work for Japanese corporations. They don't work for South Korean corporations. They work for themselves. That's why you don't see that there's anything about a crisis in this country when the workers here are in crisis, as long as Wall Street is making plenty of money. But they claim that Korea is the cause of the world crisis. You know, it's so ridiculous to think this, that it takes the combined effort of all the media to convince people that Korea, North Korea, is the cause of the crisis. Why? Because they're supposed to have a couple of atomic bombs, right? That's why. The United States has 10,000 atomic bombs. An earlier speaker pointed out that there are 6,000 of them on ships and in aircraft and bases around the world. North Korea doesn't have any bases around the world. They don't go and invade other countries. They're not in Afghanistan. They're not in Iraq. They're not sending troops to Latin America. They're not surrounding the countries of Latin America with the Fourth Fleet the way the U.S. is. It's totally ridiculous to think that they're the cause of the crisis. This is a U.S. crisis. It's a U.S. manufactured crisis, and it's a true crisis for U.S. capitalism and imperialism. Why? Because it took $10 trillion of the people's money in this country to make Wall Street profitable after the big crash in 2008. $10 trillion was committed by the government, by Washington, to back up these corporations and banks and investment companies and hedge funds down on Wall Street. And now, yes, they're turning a profit, but they're thinking about next year and the year after. They want to go further and exploit more workers overseas and lower our wages even more here. They want to go after the DPRK, and they want to go after China too. We must always remember that. 1.3 billion people in China. So we have a direct interest in this country to say no war against Korea, to say bring the troops home, to say take the war money away from the Pentagon, spend it on jobs, spend it on social services, stop the wage freeze that the administration just announced, get a real jobs program. Let that money go for a real jobs program like happened during the Depression when 8 million workers got direct jobs from the government. None of this stuff of putting billions of dollars into private corporations supposedly for it to trickle down to make a few jobs. That's worked great, hasn't it? Now we've got 10% unemployment. No, we've got to form a strong movement to fight the bosses in this country, make them spend that money on jobs and social services and say, no war, no war against Korea, no war anywhere.
No war on Korea. Peace treaty now. No war on Korea. Peace treaty now.
No war in Korea. Peace treaty now. No war in Korea. Peace treaty now. No war in Korea.
Will be Andy Mara from Nodu Toll for Korean Community Development. Andy.
Hey.
Good evening. I'm here tonight in support of a comprehensive peace treaty to end the Korean War. This war has been going on for 60 years, much longer than I've been around. And what's devastating is that millions upon millions of Koreans around the world are losing the opportunity to see a reunified Korean peninsula. Millions upon millions of our families have been divided by an unnatural border called the 38th parallel, the demilitarized zone. This war, these activities that we've seen in the past week is a form of U.S. bullying and aggression. South Korea has no business whatsoever intimidating our northern brothers and sisters across the DMZ. This war puts other families at risk on both sides of the peninsula. My brother served in the South Korean Army. And my family is still in South Korea, and I worry that a war on the peninsula would put them at risk, and I'm not alone. What makes this war even more real for Koreans and for others is that we have families in Korea that still live there, that still walk and go to work, go to school, go to church, and live through this on a day-to-day basis. And it's become normalized. Why? Why has this war become forgotten when so many other speakers have already said that there were 3 million lives lost during the Korean War and billions upon billions of dollars spent on this tragic armed conflict? We can't wait. We can't wait anymore. The time has come for us to put aside our differences, sit down at the table, and begin a process, a real sustainable process towards peace between South Korea, North Korea, the United States, and China. Earlier, a proposal was put on the table for six-party talks, emergency talks to bring everyone back at the table. And what happens? Yoon Hyun-bak, the current South Korean president, rebuffed those talks. Why? Because there are war hawks. War hawks that continue to push the peninsula on the brink. And it is our responsibility as a progressive movement to move forward, to raise up and lift up our voices and say enough is enough. We cannot afford another expensive war. There are other demonstrations and rallies that have taken place across the country. We would encourage people that are walking by to participate, to learn more, to take a step back from what you've heard about South Korea and North Korea and the current division, and to consider the fact that this war is taking money out of your pockets, money out of your schools, money out of your communities, money out of your social security benefits. The time is now for us to talk about a peace treaty. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy Mara. No control. The U.S. today is not only fighting a war, an endless war in Iraq, an almost 10-year war now in Afghanistan, making constant threats against Korea and also against the people of Iran. Our next speaker is Eli Omani from the American-Iranian Friendship Committee.
Eli Omani.
Salam alaikum. In this very hopefully happy season, I'm very proud to be standing here. I came down from Westchester to join our Korean brothers and sisters. And as I look around, I see my African brothers and sisters, my Pakistani brothers and sisters. Why is it that we are all here together during this joyful time when we hear the possibility of the threat of another war? Because all those countries that I mentioned, and many more, Yemen, there's too many to list. We have 739 military bases around the world. And previous speakers have spoken about how this doesn't help us here at home. There's a sign here that I love, and I want to read it. It says, the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today is our own government. My own government. That's a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. And I'm very, very unhappy that President Obama, who we helped bring to the White House because he promised that he would put dialogue, that he would put international solidarity, unity of people around the world on his agenda, has seemed to have forgotten what he said when he was running for president. That when you send 45,000, I just read it in the Financial Times, when you send 45,000 troops on aircraft carriers that are armed with nuclear weapons to Korea for war games, when you send 1,000 aircraft carriers, nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, I think there's 15 in the Persian Gulf surrounding Iran. Mr. President Obama, you are not giving us a message of peace and dialogue. You are that policy is why the American man who walked by here, and I was ashamed that he said it, when one of the speakers was talking about stop spending all this money on military, he screamed, bomb Korea. What kind of human being in this world would say bomb human beings, use nuclear weapons, use missiles? We read there are 4.5 million Iraqis living now after our so-called intervention for freedom, living in tents without clean water. This is the America that we want to represent? No, brothers and sisters, this is not the America that I want us to represent and all of the people who are here. We say, U.S., spend the money on the American people's social and educational and health needs. Stop this drive toward war. Stop the ships, stop the drills. You are aggravating the situation and you are turning this season that should be joyful, brotherly, and full of holiday cheer, you are turning it into a season bereft of humanity. We say no. Salaam alaikum.
Thank you, Ali Omani. I think we have some chance here. Response, because there are a lot of voices here and I would like you to raise them as loud as you can. Okay? So we're going to start with, when I say peace, you say now. So, and then I'm going to say, when I say end, you say war. So it's when I say peace, you say now. When I say end, you say war. Everyone got that? It's okay, we're going to learn it. Okay. When I say peace, you say now. Peace.
Now.
Peace. Okay? 60 years it's been and that's way too long. 1, 2, 3. 1950, 2010. The Korean War has got to end. 1950, 2010. The Korean War has got to end. 1950, 2010. The Korean War has got to end. 1950, 2010. The Korean War has got to end. Woo!
Korea. We want to talk about the war that goes on against poor and working people right here in the U.S. We want to talk about endless war when there's no money for the things we need right here. Amadi Ajamu from the December 12th movement is our next speaker.
Yay! Woo!
Peace!
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 Peace! Now.
Peace!
Now.
I am representing the December 12th movement, and we've had a long history of camaraderie and solidarity with the North Koreans in terms of their right to self-determination and their right to self-defense. That the United States government has been in South Korea since 1950, the 40s, or whenever the Korean War started. They've been there for a long time and have been hostile every step of the way. When they start doing military maneuvers and the North Koreans see that, it is a threat to them. This is not being provoked by the North Koreans. This is being provoked by the United States government. And you know why? Because the recession here has always demanded war internationally. For some odd reason, the United States government thinks that they can make money when they make war. And when they get into a recession like we're in now, which is going to get much worse, they think that they need to start more and more wars around the world. They provoke war. They're provoking the North Koreans. They're provoking the Iranians. They're provoking Afghanistan and Iraq. They are the ones that instigate and start these wars. And we have to say, stop the wars now. Stop the wars now. Stop the wars now. Progressive folks.
right here in New York City. The Freedom Party has an independent foreign policy, and we understand that people around the world have a right to self-determination, to sovereignty, from Haiti to North Korea to Afghanistan to Iraq. They have a right to sovereignty and self-determination, and we will stand with them in solidarity until everyone is free. Thank you.
Thank you, Amadi Ajamu. The U.S. war threats on Korea aren't only against Korea. There's hardly a day that goes by that U.S. military from the other side of the world isn't firing drone attacks into Pakistan while continuing war on Afghanistan, on Iraq, and threatening the people also of Iran. Our next speaker, Comrade Jaheed from the Pakistan USA Freedom Forum.
Hi, everybody. I know we are preparing and going for the Christmas, but that Christmas when you don't have your sisters and brothers, thousands and thousands, somewhere else, fighting for not the safety of this country, but some Pentagon, Shuruni and Muruni and Bruni, some kind of people, I don't know what they have in their mind, and they are fighting for them. And we at this moment, asking the people, and we all activists of the United States and New York assemble at this moment, and we asking everybody to join us for the peace. Today we have the report that our more than 51 million US citizens have no job. And there's no chance that then we can have a job in the next year. And you know what we're doing when our sisters and brothers and families have nothing? We are throwing the bomb on other countries. We are threatening the sovereignty of other countries. This is our job to stand up against this shit. And only one thing we ask and demand for whoever is the president, what kind of color is a black and white and half and half? Stop the war. End the war. Total 70 million South and North Koreans have the same right for the peace like anybody else in Britain, in France, in Germany, in Yugoslavia, in Czechoslovakia. We already know that what happened with Asia. We already see that what happened with that atom bomb in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We happened what happened with the Vietnam land. We know that what happened with Iraq. We know what happened in Korea in the 50s. And now we are seeing what happening in Afghanistan and Pakistan. I have only one thing which I want to share with you. China, Korea, Japan, last 50, 60 years, whatever the position, they gained some power. They gained some technology. And you know what happened? Some people don't want that this process should go. If there's going to be a war and China and Japan will involve, it's a loss of not only Japan and China, it's a loss of the humanity. We will stand for end the war. People get some progress, get some money, enjoy the technology, and we will harmony, peace, and love. Last thing, I want to tell you what's the real face of these people who think that they are the number one. When the Qatar got the 2020 Football World Cup, how are they talking about the Qatar? Oh, this country has a 130 degree temperature. Qatar offered them their commission stadium. You know what I'm trying to tell you? They have something in their mind that they can do anything the other countries which have the black, which have the brown color, got quite a different nose, they cannot do anything. We have to stand fight against this kind of racism, this kind of bigotry. And I'm very much proud at this moment that due to this incident, our North Korean sisters and brother, South Korean sisters and brother, Iranian, Iraqi, Afghani, Vietnamese, and every human being will stand only for peace. And peace is the future. Peace is the way when our sons and daughters will live. We are not fighting for ourselves. We are fighting for future. And this fight will till end. And you will be the winner. We all will be the winner. Peace will prevail. That's the message we want to give to the White House. That's the message we want to give to the Pentagon. People who think that humans are different. Every army guy who joined the army, doesn't matter what kind of orientation, what kind of sex profession, he has a right to serve the country. That's the message we want to get from here. And I want to say thank you very much, International Action Center, other organization who joined over here. Keep hand in hand. Show the unity. That's the only thing they're afraid. That's the only thing they're afraid. And they're not going to live without any fear. When we are united, that's the only solution. Peace is the answer. Unity is the way. Thank you very much.
For everyone going by, home from work, shopping, we're here today talking about the need for jobs and healthcare and housing and not another war. Not 70,000 troops and more maneuvers threatening the people of Korea, threatening the people of Iran, fighting another war in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and really a war on working people here at home with layoffs and more layoffs and wage freezes and cuts in unemployment and mortgage foreclosures. There's endless money and resources for war and no money for the things that we need right here. And we need jobs, not war. 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 Our next speaker is Alison Bodine for the Movement Against War and Occupation, Vancouver.
Hello everyone, thank you. My name is Alison from Mobilization Against War and Occupation. I'm here sending greetings from people in Vancouver, Canada, and to remind everyone as we stand here today that we are not alone. That this group of people here in New York City is just part of a group of people around the world. Peace-loving people in Korea, in Pakistan, in Britain, all throughout Latin America and all over the world, fighting for peace and justice and demanding that the U.S. stop their war threats against Korea. Mobilization Against War and Occupation is an anti-war coalition in Canada. And in the strongest words that we have, we oppose and condemn U.S. and South Korea's provocation of war against the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea. People around the world should know the facts and the truth about this volatile situation that has been imposed on the Korean people. This is a situation that is caused by U.S. military presence that is massive and that is creating an ongoing tension and warmongering against the North Korean government and the people of North Korea. The U.S. government has not only imposed a savage and a brutal war on the Korean people, but since 1953, it has imposed all kinds of sanctions, including against the basic necessities of life, like food and medicine. The U.S. has continued for over the last 5 decades their provocations against North Korea in order to maintain their policy of harassment against North Korea and to put the North and South Korean people against each other. With all of these imperialist policies, the U.S. has made all efforts to make life harder and harsher for the people of North Korea and punishing them for choosing to exercise their right to self-determination and their right to be a sovereign nation, not under the yoke of U.S. imperialism. The source of instability and tension in the Korean Peninsula is the U.S. military presence. We must demand that the U.S. immediately and unconditionally leave the Korean Peninsula with all of their troops, their tanks, their warships, and their missiles. North and South Korean people have nothing against each other. We support the efforts of the Korean people for the reunification of Korea. We need to explain this to the people of the world, that what happens on November 23rd and the aftermath of this incident is nothing but a continuation of warmongering of the United States government since 2001, when they opened the new era of war and occupation by attacking and occupying Iraq and Afghanistan. The U.S. ruling class and its bloody war machine now has their eyes not only on North Korea, but Iran and Latin America. We will stand side by side with the Korean people, and especially North Korea, to defend the right of oppressed people to resist imperialist aggression and to stand in unity in the fight for a better world. U.S. hands off North Korea! U.S. out of the Korean Peninsula now! End the sanctions against North Korea! Stop provocations and warmongering against North Korea! Long live the struggle of oppressed people against imperialist aggression!
We're here today talking about U.S. troops and endless wars against the people of Korea and the threats on Korea, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan that have laid waste those entire countries that have not brought anything except destitution, hunger, terrible war crimes, the threats on the people of Iran, the long U.S. war against the people of the Philippines, which was the first U.S. expansionist war. Our next speaker is Yves Manongo from Bayan Philippine Coalition.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is Yves Manongo of Bayan USA, and I'm here to express our warmest solidarity to the people here and to the people of Korea. We are here to express our opposition to the warmongering of U.S. imperialism in the Korean Peninsula. We are here because we all know that we are in an economic crisis. We are losing our jobs. We can't afford to go to school. We're losing our benefits. And recently, 2 million people were rejected of their application for an extension of their unemployment benefits. Now, do we believe that this war will solve our economic crisis?
No!
This warmongering in the Korean Peninsula will only worsen our conditions. And we all know that Christmas is coming, and we don't want a war as a gift. We don't want the war to be served as a gift to our people. We don't want the war to be served as a gift for the Korean people. We don't want the war in Korea to be served as a gift and as a way to celebrate Christmas this year. That's why we must continue to stand together with the Korean people and to the people of the world in opposition to this war of aggression and to the war that the U.S. imperialism is imposing and pulling on the people of the world, especially in the third world and in Asia Pacific. So brothers and sisters, we must continue to protest and to pour in the streets, explain to people why this war is going on, and we must continue to oppose it. And we must stand side by side with the Korean people until the end, until a victory is attained for all people. U.S. troops out of the Korean Peninsula, and long live international solidarity.
Our next speaker, as we wind up this rally tonight, talking about U.S. war, the threats on Korea, the endless wars around the country, and no money here. We face one cutback, mortgage foreclosure, layoff, wage freeze, cuts in unemployment, no money for our schools. Schools are closing all over, and yet there's always money for another war. Monica Moorhead for Workers' World Party, a longtime writer for Workers' World newspaper, is our next speaker. Monica.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. I wanted to share with you a few of my experiences of going to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. And I wanted to do this because, as we all know, there is so much demonization against the DPRK, or People's Korea. And why is that? Why is it that people in this country are denied the right and the access to go to countries like the DPRK, or even Cuba, or any other country which does not have the same system or values as the United States or some other imperialist country? And when I went to the DPRK in 2003, I also remembered the fact that just 50 years before my trip there, the DPRK, its capital, Pyongyang, had been leveled to such an extent that not one tall building was left standing because of the war that was led by the U.S. and especially by General Douglas MacArthur. There was not one building standing back in 1945. And 50 years later, or 60 years later, Pyongyang was a beautiful city, beautiful buildings. The fact that we didn't see one homeless person in Pyongyang. We did not see one hungry person in Pyongyang. People were happy. People were thriving. Because this is a society that has used all of its resources, what little resources that it's had, to make sure that people had their human needs. They had a right to a job. They had a right to housing. They had a right to food. The children were just incredible in terms of learning and performing and, you know, just being so happy. Now, can we say the same thing about what's going on in this country today? Can we say the same thing when students are being denied the right to a free education? The CUNY system is just rising in terms of its cost for students. Students cannot even go to school because they have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to just get a basic education. We know that there's a lot of homelessness in New York City, where there's housing, there's empty housing. There's all these luxury condos where no one is living. Those condos should be open to the people. Those condos should be open to the people. Vincent Hospital just shut down. This thriving hospital, this hospital where people with AIDS and so many other diseases have relied on this hospital, and it just closed its doors a few months ago. The money is there, sisters and brothers, to keep St. Vincent's and other hospitals and healthcare systems open. But we live in a society where profits are everything and human needs mean nothing, you know, to this system and to the government. We need our human needs. We need a right to a job. We need a right to housing. We need a right to health care. We need a right to education. We have a right, we should have a right to recreation. We need a right to a job. We need a government-sponsored jobs program. We have 40 million people who are at least underemployed or unemployed. The money is there to set up a jobs program so that everybody who wants a job, who needs a job, should have a job. Our bridges are falling down. Our infrastructure is just a total shambles. We can put people to work, sisters and brothers. The money is there. We have to fight for this money. We have to fight for our needs. We have to unify, put aside our differences, and come together. That's the only way that this government is going to listen to us. We have to take over buildings. We have to do whatever we need to do to bring this country to a halt. No business as usual. We need human needs. We need a society that's based on making sure that every human being thrives in this society. And we can do it, sisters and brothers, but we do not need another war. We need to demand, whether you agree with the DPRK's program or not, that is not the question. If you are against war, if you are against aggression, if you are against imperialism, if you are against inequality, if you are against racism, if you are against police brutality, if you are against all the injustices in society, you need to come together, build this movement so that we can have human needs and we can have the type of society that we deserve. Thank you, sisters and brothers. Hands off Korea, jobs, not war.
Hands off Korea, jobs, not war. Hands off Korea, jobs, not war. Hands off Korea, jobs, not war. Hands off Korea, jobs, not war. Hands off Korea, jobs, not war. Hands off Korea, jobs, not war. Hands off Korea, jobs, not war.
We got another chance here. Okay, so once again, we're here because we don't want to see another war on the Korean Peninsula. The Korean War has lasted 60 years, and that's long enough. We want the U.S. to sit down and negotiate, and we need Obama to really keep to the promise of dialogue, negotiation, and peace. We all want to see peace not only in Korea, but also in Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine, and I'm so glad that we're all gathered here together celebrating the fact that we are here for peace and that we are standing here because we don't want to see another war. So this chant is for Obama and it's for all the people that think that war is the answer. It goes, Obama, you need to know the Korean War has got to go. Obama, you need to know the Korean War has got to go. Obama, you need to know the Korean War has got to go. Obama, you need to know the Korean War has got to go. Obama. And there's a second part. It's de-escalate, sit down and negotiate.